Now, from the left coast, it's another podcast edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is curious, opinionated, and relentless in pursuit of the truth like a honeybee drawn to pollen. He's an independent progressive, ready to sting Republicans and Democrats alike when they deserve it. After years in commercial radio, Peter B. welcomes you to this audio adventure in news and politics with no corporate filter. Listeners support this program, and you can help at peterbcollins.com. Here's your humble host, Peter B.
Nice going. You got the latest in-depth interview podcast from peterbcollins.com. And today we're going to talk about H-1B visas. Highly skilled non-citizens are allowed to work in the United States under the limited number of H-1Bs granted each year. And there is a new feature film that I'm recommending. It's called For Here or To Go. And you're about to meet the filmmakers, Rucha and Rishi. Their last names are difficult to pronounce, and I do manage to get through them once. But I went to San Francisco to interview the filmmakers. This new movie is going to be opening in the San Francisco Bay Area at the end of March. And our conversation took place on the day when two federal courts put temporary blocks on Trump's latest travel ban by executive order. I think you're going to find this an interesting look at the immigrant process, what it's like to be an immigrant or a conscript, as I call it, because if you're on an H-1B, you're limited in who you can work for and for how long. All that's coming up. First, I want to thank the people who make this podcast possible with your subscriptions. People like Paul Tomaselli, Cynthia Von Hendricks, Abby McMillan, and Natalie Reel. They're loyal, staunch subscribers, and I really appreciate your support. So come on over to peterbcollins.com, click on the menu button, click on Become a Subscriber, go to the sign-up page, and in minutes, you can be equipped with your very own subscription to this podcast.
Joining me on the Peter B. Collins podcast today are the filmmakers of a really interesting new movie that is going to be released. It'll be screening in the Bay Area at the end of March. It's called For Here or To Go. Joining me on the Peter B. Collins podcast today are the filmmakers of a really interesting new movie that is going to be released. It'll be screening in the Bay Area at the end of March. It's called For Here or To Go. And it's a really touching study of people who come to the United States on H-1B visas. Now, for those who don't know what that is, it is a special visa for highly skilled workers. And the terms of the law are that it's not supposed to displace Americans. It's supposed to bring people with special skills to the United States. Rishi Bilawadkar is the writer-producer of the film, and Rucha Humnabadkar, and I'm working on those names, is the director. Delighted to be with you today. And Rishi, let me start with you. How long has it been since somebody asked you to show them your papers?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us. Every time I travel back, I have to carry my papers. So, yeah, every time I go visit my family, I have to carry my papers. And that's just how it is. I'm living that life that has been shown.
Yeah. So you're currently in the United States on the day when Donald Trump's second attempt at a royal decree travel ban has been put on hold by the courts. Tell me how that feels.
I think we are seeing the public reaction to this. It is very harmful to the perception of America. It adds a lot of trouble to, you know, people who are already here. Already the lives are uncertain, as you're seeing in the film. This adds a whole new twist of uncertainty. You really don't know where you're going to be next day, next week, next month. It's very difficult to live under that cloud of uncertainty as it is. So I think it's a very difficult time for being an outsider. It always is difficult being an outsider and getting accepted, but now more and more the perception is that it is becoming much more unwelcoming and hateful. Especially there have been violent crimes, as I'm sure you're aware, there were shootings in Kansas. An Indian engineer was fatally shot. And it's just very scary.
Right. Well, and that incident really is an example of the deep ignorance, because he thought the person he shot was Iranian. And we see that quite a bit, where Sikhs are, who, you know, have no stake in any Muslim-Christian struggle, are misidentified and attacked by ugly Americans. Mm-hmm. Rucha?
Yes, it's really unfortunate the time we live in right now. I recently became a U.S. citizen, and, everything that I believe America stands for, the values that we uphold that make this country great, the reason why I think I came here, or everybody comes here, seems to be hanging in the balance with the way things are right now. And I think it's our responsibility as citizens to stand up to that. And I really feel this film is going to help people understand, raise awareness, educate, and kind of even become empathetic to what the situation is. There's a lot of, I don't expect the average American to know the complexities of an H-1B visa policy and quota. That's a little difficult. But it's good for everybody working today, because we work side by side with so many people from so many different countries, to have that understanding of how difficult it is, so that they can support their cause, so they can come out and show the unity that we embrace diversity, we embrace the contributions, we embrace the growth that all these immigrants and these skilled people who come here and create companies and jobs are bringing to the prosperity of America. So I think that is at stake with what's happening right now. You know, you have people who are going to leave this country and go create their billion-dollar startup somewhere else, and then you're going to lose those jobs. It's already happening. It's just going to become much more heightened if we continue at the pace we are.
Yeah, just a real quick thing about the shootings. You mentioned the Sikh shootings, the violence against Sikhs. Our film is obviously, that's not the core issue, but we do refer to all these things. There is a reference to the Elk Grove shooting. There's a reference to, you know, your visa being denied because of your Muslim name. Now, these all things have happened before, and that's why they're in the film. They have already happened, and it's very sad to see them repeat all over again. And we are again fighting the same types of ignorance and, discrimination.
And Rishi, you're the writer of this film, and let me commend you, because you could have done a fabulous documentary, but this is even better. Because, you know, a documentary would get bogged down in the technical and legal issues, mm-hmm. and what you did was present all these issues from the perspective of somebody who's living it. And I've known many people who have come to the United States on H-1B visas, and while I do not call this slavery, it is a form of conscription. It's gilded conscription. You get to buy a BMW and have a smartphone and live a pretty good lifestyle, but you can't change employers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that George Lucas and Industrial Light and Magic used to use a lot of foreign workers as editors, and one was a friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
And she wanted to switch to another company. She got a better offer. And that's the opening scene or sequence of events in your film. Mm-hmm. And you just capture it brilliantly and serve it up in a way that doesn't make my head hurt. It makes me want to, you know, pay attention and address the issues.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. I think, yes, there is a reason why it's not a documentary. There's a reason why it's not just an article. Because when I started off, I was writing a blog, and I wanted to celebrate the Indian assimilation. We've been coming here since 1965, making great contributions for such a minority, tremendous economic impact across fields now. And nobody was talking about it, and there was this, you know, piece of unfairness. So I wanted to put a human face to the problem and make it very entertaining and lighthearted in its telling, so that it is accessible, so it doesn't make your head hurt, and so you really can empathize with what the situation is. And, you know, we've shown it to now 17 festivals, we've been at the House of Representatives once, we're going again, and it's tremendous the kind of support we get from Americans and other nationalities. You know, that's the purpose of art, right? It makes the unfamiliar familiar. And this is something that nobody really talks about. So I wanted to put it in a form which is grand, which means it has to be cinema, and put it in a form which is accessible, and shareable, so it had to be humorous. So you see both those things coming together, and then the purpose of it is enlightenment on that issue, mm-hmm. which this is why it's a film.
But the, you know, the apartment shared by these people with different immigration status who are all struggling under the H-1B system, some aspiring, some being ground down by it, and facing deadlines. And your central character, Vivek Pandit, he's a brilliant guy who's been offered a new job, but the company can't square away all of the paperwork and the bureaucracy, so he is trapped in this dead-end corporate job that he really hates. And Rucha, tell us a little bit about the extent to which this is based on real people and true stories, because there is a Vivek Pandit who works for McKinsey in Mumbai.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Yes, this is probably my story, Rishi's story, and everybody's story who's come to the U.S. from some other country. So being trapped in your job that you can't leave or get promoted, because when you join a company, they put a certain, it's a category you get hired into. You're either an individual contributor or you're a manager, and you can't really pass between those. And I experienced that myself firsthand. So I think it's very limited in terms of exploiting human potential, in terms of achieving your own potential. And I think that's what the story really brings to life. You see the struggles of all the roommates, and you see the trade-offs they have to make and how frustrating it is. And I think that is really what, to me, like, drew me to the film, was the fact that I was like, yes, this is a male protagonist in the film, but this is my story. This is my friends and family and everybody I know. So if I feel that way, I'm sure there are 1,000 more people out there who are going to feel the same way about this. And I really came on board because, to me, this was such an important story. And if we don't tell our stories, no one else will. Meera Nair said that. And I think Rishi and I have lived this life. We have, I always get feedback that your film is very authentic. And I think it's because we've lived it. We lived it. We know it. We know how it feels at an intellectual level, at an emotional level. And that's what we strive to bring through with the film.
And so how long has it been since your mom FaceTimed you?
So I now have a 6-month-old son, and she would rather FaceTime him than me. So, you know, that's kind of and I think that's what I love about technology. It's disruptive, but it also brings people together. Mm-hmm. And I can FaceTime her every morning for 5 minutes before I head off to work, and she gets to say hi to me, to my son, her grandson, who she dotes on. And, you know, it keeps us together. I now FaceTime with my grandmom and my grandfather, and, you know, it's amazing how technology transcends generations. And people say, oh, old people can't use technology. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Have you seen the level to which people are connected now? Mm-hmm. So we actually gift iPads and, you know, iPhones to our folks back in India so that they can all be connected.
Yeah.
Well, and in the film, Vivek is frequently FaceTimed by his mom, who is trying to fix him up with the daughter of a family friend. And somehow I think that happened to you, Rishi. That
happened to me multiple times. Yes. That's happened a lot of times. Yeah.
And two girls with the same name?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, many times over. Of course, after a point, I was just doing it for researching that scene that we have in the film. And, yeah, it's you know, it's a reality. It's part of the culture. It's a cultural piece. It happens. And, you know, even the speed dating thing, it's right. Strange, and it does happen.
Well, right now you're doing one interview after another. This is kind of a cruel form of speed dating for filmmakers.
There you go. Yes, it is. yeah, it is. But I just want to get back to your point about the real stories piece. You know, these are not just real stories. This is just real events too, like this getting fixed up by your relatives or your parents, who, you know, people have not met them, but they meet them in this foreign country, and just because, you know, your sister's cousin's grandmom has recommended or something like that. You know, these are all very real parts of people's lives, and this is what we wanted, because that part of the culture has not been shown. Mm-hmm. And as far as real stories is concerned, you know, all the characters, I am not a trained writer. I didn't intend to be a screenplay writer.
Really?
Yeah, I have no background in this. Nobody, I just Googled
well,
it.
Well, stop right there, okay? You wrote a very layered piece. I mean, there are so many facets to this, and it all comes together brilliantly. So I'm having a hard time. Can we get a lie detector in here?
Yes, it's true. It took me a long time. It took me 2 years before I was ready to share it with the world and meet Rucha, or, you know, but it took me a long time to come up with the story and learn how to do a screenplay. And then I got a lot of, obviously, feedback, and, you know, we honed it. But I have no background, and I cheated. The way I cheated was the visa stamps. What was interesting, my only, you know, piece of inspiration and observation was, how interesting is it that this visa stamp that you get, whether you're a student or on a work visa or about to get a green card, determines your interaction with each other and your relationship with the country. So there's a ready-made characters with motivation and mission right there. So I wanted to tell that whole spectrum of the story, mm-hmm. and that's where it all started.
Richard, let me ask you about perceptions in India, mm-hmm. on the part of your family members, people who are university graduates. What is their perspective on the H-1B visa program, mm-hmm. and the disparities that are obvious, and the fact that you can buy a green card if you invest $500,000 in some construction project in the United States. Mm-hmm. Is that classism as apparent to people who aspire to come here to work as it is to me?
I think the people who come on H-1B visas to India tend to be graduates, highly educated, coming from some of the best institutions in India. So if you take the top 1% of the of Indian graduates, you're probably getting the best of the best here in a lot of ways, at least 60 to 70%. And I'm hesitant to say that they're all aware of the buying the green card program. And even if they were, I doubt they would have the monetary resources to make that happen. So I think that is a very interesting program for people who can afford it. But for people who can't, the H-1B continues to be sort of the path to come to the U.S. And interestingly, like I was talking to someone the other day back in India, despite everything that's going on here, there seems to be no amount of reduction in the interest to apply for H-1B visas. People still want to come here. To me, that's fascinating. So they either think the problem's going to go away or it's not real enough. So I don't know if the distance of being in a different country and being here makes it not as real, you know. And it's also just understanding the reality on the ground. They're like, yeah, it's happening, but I don't think unless it affects you personally, I don't think people really know that is going to affect them.
I think the point to there, the interesting point there is, you know, if it starts to affect you, that is when you start to like care about it. So we showed it in Mumbai.
Yeah.
And we had two full houses at the Mumbai International Festival, yeah. Mami. And there were a set of parents that basically came to both shows. And, you know, their reaction, they started treating me like almost like a therapist. So should we send our daughter or not? And there was another gentleman who was very upset. He was like, his only comment in the Q&A was, I knew I shouldn't have sent my son over there. So it really, it's so interesting the kind of interpretations people get out of this story. Because based on your stage of life, and it's exactly the premise I was telling you before, based on your stage of life and your context, you will see your sort of life situation being reflected in it. Mm-hmm. Some people, because of, you know, the violence now, are actually very scared. Some people are still very ambitious and they still want to sort of go ahead and apply. So it's a very it's an issue that always has a lot of different stakeholders and a lot of different perspectives and points of views, and that's what makes it even more complex and sensitive. But we wanted to do justice to all those issues so everyone can see it as a, you know, the film ends with, you know, life doesn't, you know, run on hope, it runs on your perspective. So what we're trying to do is provide that perspective, mm-hmm. which is as wide as it can be.
And see if you care to comment on this, Rishi. I see a very interesting tension. The tech giants based in Silicon Valley are fighting the Trump administration on surveillance, backdoors, encryptions, and you know, many of these very important issues related to security and privacy. At the same time, they want to have some influence on Trump's immigration policy to maintain and probably expand the pool of H-1B visas. So do you have any comment on that? They're walking a tightrope with a very unpredictable, thin-skinned president.
They are walking a very tightrope. I think it's very uncertain what exactly is going to happen, which way this is going to actually turn out. Obviously, there's a pro-business type of administration right now, and they are trying to fix the loopholes in the H-1B system, which is, you know, highly abused. So it's going to be an interesting balance of what gets negotiated. But, you know, the employers really need to be cognizant of what the life issues are for the employees that they have. It's not just about the visa. It's also about enabling and putting certainty into their lives so that they're able to perform to their best potential. Mm-hmm. Currently, the visa system is unfair. The green card backlog system is unfair. I've been waiting in line for the past 9 years now, and the projected times are 70 years. So that's a very long time. Basically, you are getting hired on your skill, but you're getting accepted on your country of birth. And so if you are from India and I was from South Africa and we joined the same company, same job, same role, same day, you get your green card in 20 years, I get it in 6 months, just because I'm from South Africa and you're from India. And that is the problem. And that really needs to get fixed. So I think the employers need to be cognizant and, you know, fight this holistically.
There's also an impact here on the domestic side. The Mercury News, which is the newspaper of Silicon Valley based in San Jose, is reporting today on a new study that the H-1B program undermines wages and it erodes job growth. And it's pretty clear to see that because the H-1B visa holders are captive to their employers. They don't have leverage to demand a raise. And when we remember the cabal that Steve Jobs set up to eliminate poaching in an order to maintain, you know, control over wages, there are a lot of insidious obstacles that people face in this program. And there also is controversy among Americans. Rucha?
I think I've heard from other people who joined as new graduates that this can be a problem when it comes to your wages, but I don't think it continues to be that once you have a certain level of experience in the industry. So I would like to believe that the companies that run with true ethical values would not, you know, sort of go in that way of taking advantage of some of those loopholes, but there are stories that abound. And I think my response to that is people who are experiencing that, the only way to understand if you are experiencing that is to really come out of that ignorance and understand from peers and coworkers what the other people at your level are being paid. For example, Glassdoor does some of that, and some other companies, or even your friends and coworkers. So I know that those kind of discussions do happen where people are like, okay. And then sometimes you can have a conversation with your boss and be like, I think this is what I should be paid, and I need to get my pay adjusted. And I think, to be fair, a lot of times even the managers and the bosses at these companies are not completely aware all the time that these things are happening. So I think it's a two-sided sort of issue, and there's not one person who's causing it. So I think it's really a balance of how you approach it and coming at it with the best, hoping for the best for the individual involved.
Now, I have to say that you really got me in the film. Because I don't want to spoil it for people, but out of nowhere is this Bollywood scene of dancers and music in a public place. You just had to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, I think honestly, Rishi and I debated that a lot. Should we do it? Should we not? But it was a bit of an ode to Bollywood, and also it was actually embedded in reality. Like a lot of the Indian groups here, they did a San Francisco in Union Square. They had a flash mob, and they were doing flash mobs in Times Square and everywhere. So we're like, this film was about capturing the zeitgeist. It was about capturing everything happening at the moment this movie was being made. We even adjusted some of our scenes while writing the scenes to incorporate certain things that were happening, like the Tri-Valley University scam, where it was a fake university, you know. So I just felt like I know I'm going to get, maybe some people are going to ding me for this and some people are going to be like, hey, that was fun. I'll just take it. I will take it. And that's kind of what my response is.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not have something that is like a little bit Bollywoody and cheesy with all Indian actors? It's almost kind of expected. Anyway, it was also part of the real event thing. Yeah. So we are true to the spirit over there. We had lots of production challenges. It's very, very ambitious to pull off something like that. It's
in one day.
Council member Ash Kalra at the time in San Jose City Hall, he helped us get the City Hall. We wanted to get Union Square, make it as real as possible. But, we've been punching way above our weight for the longest time, and that flash mob was the most challenging scene to actually.
Well, it really worked. I mean, it was completely unexpected, and tied to the two girls with the same name, and mom trying to control, her son's life from India. So, I really recommend your film. I'm not a film critic. I'm a guy who covers news and politics, but I think you've done an excellent job of portraying these issues and the lives that are affected by these policies. And like I said, it could have been a documentary. And thanks for making this film. And Rishi, I just have to say that you have a lot of skill as a writer. I mean, that's what came across to me as I watched it. And I wonder what you're going to work on next.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I discovered it too, actually. I am considering quite a few topics right now. One is I'm trying to write a comedy about what it means to be a patriot in today's times. Which I'm an army kid myself. I grew up with the Indian military, and I'm very interested in this concept of patriotism and where we live, both in America and in India. So it's going to be similar. It's going to be an intersection of policy and technology and people's lives. But I'm very interested in diving deeper into that subject right now.
Okay, the film is opening in the San Francisco Bay Area at the end of March. It is For Here or To Go, and you can get information on other screenings and the film at the website forehereortogomovie.com. My thanks to Rucha and Rishi. Pleasure meeting you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this in-depth interview. If you've got an H-1B visa story, share it with me. Email Peter at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.